620. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. While there's been a recent surge in women entering state and national political races, women are still underrepresented in politics. Women leaders gathered in Dallas today for a discussion focused on women, sponsored by the Texas Tribune. Texas Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman says there aren't enough women in politics because current leadership doesn't recruit women.
Women need to have these conversations all over the state. Who would make a great candidate? Who's got the stamina? Because you need it. Who's got the ability to fundraise? Because you need it. Who's got the ability to bring people together? Because you're going to need some crossover support in order to ultimately prevail. And as women, we need to own the issue. And one way is to begin these conversations, begin recruiting women, and then begin deciding that you're going to be the woman that wants to be recruited.
State Representative Helen Giddings, a Democrat from DeSoto, said women need to be more vocal about their accomplishments and not be discouraged by fundraising.
One of the things that women don't do a good job of is tooting their own horns, because we have been taught, as a part of our culture, that, you know, that's just not what you do.
The symposium also addressed women's health and sexual harassment in politics. It's been 6 months since Hurricane Harvey slammed into the Texas Gulf Coast, costing the region more than $100 billion in damages. Today on Think, from the studios of Houston Public Media, Chris Boyd talked with Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner about the city's efforts to rebuild.
You just can't build back to where we were. We have to be stronger and more resilient. It's very difficult for me as the mayor of the city of Houston to tell people, go and repair your home where you were. What people are wanting to know, especially when they flooded 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in the past, Mayor, if we repair our home or rebuild our home, will things be different? So while people are trying to repair their homes, we also have to move forward with making the city more resilient. And what that means, expanding the bayous where we can to provide added capacity, more detention basins. In West Houston or in the Kingwood area, where the water came because of the lack of a third reservoir, that's important. And what we do know, thousands of homes would not have flooded if we had had a third reservoir. We do know, based on the modeling, that thousands of homes would not have flooded if the bayous had more capacity. And where you engage in some of these mitigation strategies, if homes still would have flooded, then we need more resources to buy those homes out. So you have to rebuild, but at the same time, you have to implement or execute your mitigation strategies. Otherwise, the funding that we are getting is simply funding for failure.
Marvin Odom, who is leading the city of Houston's recovery effort, also joined the conversation.
The data tells you that there's about a 6-to-1 benefit, meaning if you put a dollar into mitigation versus just a dollar into repair, your return on the mitigation side is about 6-to-1. And, the result is obvious. You know, if you protect a neighborhood, it doesn't flood anymore, you're not going to have those repetitive repairs year after year like we've seen in Houston here recently. But those are hard choices to make when you have people that need to get back in their home today. So it's an easy thing to say, but there are a lot of hard choices around build forward, not back.
This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. For the first time in 3 decades, the 6th congressional district in North Texas is an open seat. Republican Congressman Joe Barton of Ennis has been in office since 1985, but after a scandal involving a nude photo of himself and sexually suggestive messages, he decided not to run again. As KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, 11 Republicans are now running to replace him in one of the most crowded primaries in Texas.
Even with 2 of them sitting it out, it was a tight fit to squeeze 9 candidates together on stage. Bill Carson called it a class photo. He's with the Coalition for the Constitution, the group that organized this forum at the Texas Motorplex in Ennis.
I don't care how you stand. Yeah, please get up on the stage. Anybody wants to take pictures?
During the 3-hour forum, the 9 had to take turns going up on stage to answer questions in groups of 3. For all the candidates, though, there was very little disagreement. Everyone presented themselves as very conservative candidates talking to very conservative voters about conservative ideas.
Take care of our country, secure our borders, provide for a strong military, take care of our veterans.
Jake Elzey is a former Navy pilot who's raised more than $100,000, the second highest in the race.
Get rid of the debt and get rid of the unelected bureaucracy. That's the only thing I stand on. If that makes anybody mad, bring it on.
On immigration, all nine candidates took hard-line stances, like Deborah Gagliardi, an architect from Arlington.
For them to continue to say they're in the shadows is a complete farce. They're in our face. They're telling us that we need to fly their flag. They have not even attempted to get citizenship here.
Some of the candidates pledged to term limit themselves, and everyone agreed they'd go to Washington to cut, cancel, audit, and repeal. For starters, the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, but also a bunch of federal agencies and departments, a high-speed rail project planned between Dallas and Houston, and all kinds of spending. Shannon Duberly is a former counterterrorism consultant who works in oil and gas.
The tax cut's good, but unless we cut spending, we're going to be in a lot of trouble really quickly.
In terms of money and endorsements, Ron Wright leads the pack. He's the only candidate in this Republican primary who's held elected office, and he focused on his conservative record. Wright was an Arlington City Council member before becoming the Tarrant County Tax Assessor Collector.
I put in God We Trust on tax statements and envelopes in the tax office. It's the national motto. It should go on all government documents. And I did it knowing I would probably be sued.
Congressman Joe Barton's unexpected retirement announcement last fall, just days before the filing deadline, touched off a chaotic flurry of candidates throwing their hats into the ring. Political scientist Rebecca Dean from the University of Texas at Arlington says that scramble was good for Ron Wright.
Anytime you have a sudden departure, it benefits someone who's more established. And so that's, I think, why you saw a coalescence of people behind Mr. Wright. I think they wanted someone who had a track record.
This is one of six open congressional seats in Texas where a Republican is stepping down. 56 Republicans are now running to fill those six seats. The volume is a sign of pent-up energy in districts where incumbents served for decades, according to Dean. And she says crowded primaries now could be a good sign for Republicans this fall when they're expected to face fired-up Democrats.
If this energizes the Republican electorate such that they then come out in the general election, then that's another seat that doesn't turn over. And the Republicans in 2018 are going to need as many of those as they can get.
In the 6th district, the winner of the GOP primary will face one of five Democratic contenders. Back at the forum in Ennis, Frank Kuchar says this district is a tough one to run in. He would know since he ran twice against Joe Barton and lost. It stretches from Arlington all the way down to Navarro County.
It is hard to run across a three-county district when you're having to work full-time. It is a tremendous amount of stress.
Kuchar says people here are fed up with Washington. They're tired of both parties and professional politicians and Joe Barton.
And you heard some of that in the discussions tonight, how they were frustrated. I don't want to take any more. We shouldn't take any more. I want to go and try and make a difference. And bully for them. You know, that's noble.
Probably the biggest challenge right now, though, is just making yourself stand out in this crowded field. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
We have a voter's guide at keranews.org. Highland Park native Armie Hammer has a role in Call Me By Your Name, a nominee for Best Picture. Other than that, there isn't too much for North Texas to root for when the Oscars are handed out on Sunday. It was a different story in the 80s. One town was generating Oscar buzz year after year. A movie shot in Waxahachie won at least one Academy Award in 1983, 84, and 85. The most well-known is Places in the Heart, starring Sally Field, who won Best Actress. It was written by Waxahachie native Robert Benton. KERA's Molly Evans has been exploring the town's Hollywood heyday, and she's learned it's still a source of pride today. Find her story about Waxahachie and Oscar gold at artandseek.org. Tonight, a low around 50 degrees, mostly clear, then patchy fog after midnight, rain in the forecast tomorrow and Wednesday. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.